Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. We can all say we've had at least one. At some point in most of our working lives, we've worked for a boss that took their authority to the extremes. Sometimes the crazy boss extreme. Today on Office Horror Stories, crazy bosses.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. And yes, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. You can write in on our website as well, OfficeHorrorStories.com. To share your office horror stories with us. We would love to hear them. Please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on, wherever you're downloading your podcast. It helps us grow in the rankings. And leave us a review. That'd be greatly appreciated. It takes just a couple seconds to leave that review. Give us some stars, especially on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to us there. Helps us get out in their algorithms and says, hey, this show exists. And then other people find it and go, holy shit, it's a cathartic place I can tell all my stories. So that little bit of support from you would be greatly appreciated if you're enjoying the program. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. This question was posed on the last episode with Carol the other day. And I thought I'd throw it out to you. Someone asked, have I ever had any office horror stories working on the podcast? And they asked about real ghost stories online, because that's been the one that's been around the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any office horror stories working on the podcast? I mean, I'm a wonderful boss. I treat everyone great. So it can't be about me, but I don't know. I was thinking more like content wise of just... I don't really have anything that comes to mind. Was there ever anything for you?
No, not really. Definitely not as far as you and I working together, and you work with others for the podcast. I don't. Mm-hmm. I really don't have any bad stories. The only thing I can think of that remotely made me uncomfortable was when we did when we shot Spirits in the Air and mm-hmm. had a touchy-feely ghost, but other than that, no.
Yeah, what was going on with that when we were doing that? Because we were shooting at an old airport
mm-hmm.
in, we won't say the name of it. It's out there if you want to see it. But so it was haunted.
Yeah.
And that's what the director was in at the time, was on camera telling us the stories of the place. What happened?
Well, I was sitting kind of in front of you. You were standing with the camera, and we were, you know, interviewing him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it felt like you poked my shoulder. And
okay.
That's why I looked over. And you were further back than I thought you were.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of looked up at you and went back to what we were doing. But it was a definite, like, poke in the shoulder. It was not like, my bra strap decided to do something wonky or something.
Nobody was comping a feel.
It was
poke on the shoulder.
Like on the back of my shoulder.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. And then I told you, mm-hmm. you know, because you, I think, stopped filming, and I asked you if you did that because I thought you were trying to get my attention for something. Like maybe you needed me to grab something out of one of the bags of technology stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Huh.
No explanation for who poked my shoulder.
Ghosts seem to like to poke at you when we're having a camera involved for some reason.
Yeah.
I recently looked back on an old video of the Taste Spot when we were filming in Wisconsin at the winery,
mm-hmm.
where you were getting, where there was a ghost that was poking your butt, right?
Here's exactly what it felt like. It felt like our daughter, who was 3 at the time, was coming up and pushing, you know, like grabbing, you know, around your waist and hanging on. And I was like kind of trying to shoo her away because I was holding the camera. And then I look over and she's across the room with your mom. She's not anywhere near me, you know, but you know, that little kid come up, rub on mom or dad kind of thing. So they're just butt height at that age. Mm-hmm. So I just assumed it was her.
Yeah.
No.
I just, when I looked at that, I didn't realize how, I don't know why I didn't realize, maybe I did at the time and I just forgot, but there's like, I thought it was like the camera, the digital interference that we had on that episode just was like one time. It goes on for like a minute or two. Mm-hmm. It's like every couple seconds, it's digital mess up, that whole scene.
Yeah.
I guess
that was exactly when that happened to me. So something didn't want us filming.
Yeah, that was exciting. It's funny that one kind of actually does involve ghosts, even though the show really isn't about ghosts, but it's, you know, anything really goes if it kind of makes you uncomfortable in your workplace, and mm-hmm. our workplace happens to be wherever we're doing our show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say the only thing I've had, because I was really kind of thinking about that, because that's interesting, because I don't, you know, we don't have like other coworkers here.
No.
It's just us. So it's like, well, you know, but I can say people do frustrate me. I would say one of the most frustrating things that I've had, and I've only had this a few times, and it's more specifically when I'm doing the podcast, The Grave Talks, and I've set up the interviews. I hate it when people blow off the interviews mm-hmm. or we set on specific times and we get it in our calendars and then people just aren't there.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, I forgot. It's like, I get shit comes up. I can forgive that. Especially when they message in ahead of time going, look, this came up. Can we move it? Yes. Yes, we can. And I do the same if something comes up for me. It's rare I'm doing that, but I have done it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can forgive it. But I hate the one that has always gotten me is when you get into the interview and they have like nothing to say.
Oh.
And I had one. And usually it's like, you know, there's been a couple interviews that these individuals have given, but every once in a while you have someone who's never done an interview before and you're the first one to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. But sometimes people approach me about doing an interview like, hey, I have a location that I think has stuff going on at it. Would you be interested in talking? Okay, sure. So I'm assuming if you're coming to me, you have something to talk about.
Yeah.
I remember where there's one lighthouse that I did an interview on. I don't remember where it was. But I was talking to the guy and like he's leading up. And I'm thinking, oh, this is an interesting backstory. This will be good once we get to the ghost part. And there's no ghost part. I'm like, after like 15 minutes of leading up, it's like, okay, so what was the experience then that you had? Oh, there wasn't anything. It was just kind of a spooky atmosphere. Like, what? Okay, well, maybe not that incident, but what other incidents? Nothing.
Yeah.
And I it's the only time I had to say to somebody, you do realize this is a show about ghosts and hauntings. And you reached out to me to do the interview. I didn't find you. So when you came to me and said you had a ghost story, what did you think it was going to be about? Well, I don't know. I just thought you wanted to talk about the lighthouse.
Wow.
I said, okay, I think we got enough. Thank you. Bye-bye. Never aired it, but it was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But that can be applied to, you know, a lot of things, especially customer service. If you're a call center or something, somebody calls and it's like, then they have nothing to do with what, mm-hmm. you know, your service one is. I have another one. I'll share it later in the show. It was today that I saw it. Just another, how the fuck did you get this far into life? How are you surviving mm-hmm. When you're this disconnected from how things work? Anyway, we'll do that in a little bit. 833-HATE-JOB is their number. Is that right? Is that our phone number here at this
program?
Okay. I got to get my chalkboard back up with the phone numbers.
And I'm excited. I have an extreme boss story.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in just a few minutes. 833-HATE-JOB or right on the website, officehorrorstories.com. First letter on today's episode says, I used to work for a call center. In this place, they took care of pool supplies. After sitting in my usual cubicle, I began to dread the start of my shift. If any have worked in a call center, you know that it is tough to smile through the phone. I would take my usual calls and start to answer the phones at 8 a.m. on the dot. First few calls were a breeze until I looked at the caller ID and it said support. With the caller ID, you can preview if it was going to be a purchase or support or status, which were for orders that didn't come. I began to remember one of my calls that was so unbearable. A man threatened to blow up the place and come by shooting because he was missing his receipt and we could not refund him his money. I had to warn people three times before I was allowed to hang up the phone call. No matter how aggressive people got, the manager would listen in and review your call. A few days after that call, a man comes into our office, runs up to our manager saying there was some guy in the building shooting. Of course, when panic happens, stories get screwed up and we didn't get the full details. My manager comes in and tells us to finish our calls or put them on hold. We were notified of an armed man storming the building shooting. Police were on the scene. However, we couldn't hear anything on the second floor to make matters worse. We had no windows on our side of the building. The loud helicopter that was swarming above us so loud that we couldn't hear each other as well. Finally, after 2 hours, we were told that it was a car that was stolen and the cops were looking for the suspects. As the criminals ran out of the car, the police officers killed and shot one of the men while the other went in hiding. Relieved that it wasn't a psycho customer, I decided to leave the call center and move on with my life. After so many people on the lines, you wouldn't believe how abusive people can simply be because you're following company policy. There have been many people who have been terrorized by mass shootings. I'll continue to pray for them. My story isn't of that magnitude, but as a reminder, people can be violent absolutely anywhere. That would be terrifying.
Yeah, I think I'd have to be done at that point.
I think, is that why a lot of call centers, for the most part, don't say where they're at and it's very difficult to find them and they have names that don't have the word call center in?
Maybe.
Do you ever notice that?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't even think of them, but they're quite often, it's like unmarked locations that just are not what you would expect to be a call center. Like, oh, that sounds like a deli. It's like, nope, it's a large call center.
Yeah. I feel for those people, you know, because... Mm-hmm. They get the worst of the worst. People that are frustrated and they have no control over what, you know, their company can and can't do.
Sure. I feel for them. But I will say this, something that and I'm sure they get a lot of crazy abusive people. And it must really, it either, there's a handful I'm sure that just get completely embittered by just the extreme nut jobs mm-hmm. like that. And then when you are a legitimate customer with a legitimate complaint, they're just... They're already on there. I've had enough shit meter is full and then they're done.
Yeah.
You know, and then you don't get remotely good service. But I've noticed as of, I'd say the last 10 years, maybe even less, maybe 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's like a new generation that's coming to the call centers because it tends to be an 18 to 24 year old demographic job.
Okay.
I would say, you know, that's the biggest chunk of the pie that's working in that industry. It's the issue of, can I speak to the supervisor? Used to be, yes, we'll get somebody. And if they were confused, if you needed to escalate it, you could get there.
Mm-hmm.
That shit doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
They will literally just tell you no mm-hmm. sometimes now. And I don't know if it's company policy that they're just like, fuck it, we don't care anymore. We'll just let them suffer. What's the worst they're going to do? They're going to complain about us along with the other 5 gazillion complaints online or what it is. Yeah. But it's like, what the fuck? Well, some are good. Some are not.
I'm surprised that honestly, that it took this long for them to realize if you say no, they, you know, there's no way that you can bypass the system and talk to their boss.
Well, true. But at this day and age of communicating your dissatisfaction with a company, you know, 15 years ago, I would have think this, if that was a thing, it would have been going on 15, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, you're really fucked if they told you no then. Mm-hmm. Because what's the worst you're going to do is go to like the Better Business Bureau and go through that shit show. Now it's, you can go on, you know, online tirades. You can go to every review site. There's a lot of ways you can let your shit show be known. Mm-hmm. And without reprisal. So I would think that quite honestly, today we would have less of that because of the reprisal that a customer can give to a business. But in looking at this, what I've noticed, the companies that are like that, if you do a little research, they have so many negative reviews online. I think they've almost hit a threshold sometimes where it's like, it doesn't matter anymore. We already have so much negativity yeah. out there. One more is not going to mean shit. So fuck them all. That's kind of what I feel like it's gotten to.
Well, that and, you know, with the way some people, I mean, I think overall work ethic has gone down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that managers in those positions do nothing but field calls of people saying, well, I want to talk to your manager. They no. can't manage anything because all they're doing is talking to the people that wanted to talk to the manager. So they at some point had to say, you know, we can't do that anymore. I have to be able to do my job. I can't do all of this.
Yeah, because the agents themselves either don't know what to do mm-hmm. and can't handle it, or they're given, I think there's a lot of this where it's so scripted what they're allowed to say mm-hmm. and they can't leave the script. It's literally like a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah.
Where if customer goes in this direction, you say this. And they just keep repeating it over and over. That's one of the most frustrating things to me is how when you go into that, there's very little, very few companies have the personalized service of, okay, I'm going to identify what happened here and we're going to figure this out. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sorry for your, that I'm sorry you feel that way. And very insincere the way they say it, because yeah. they're just reading the script again, but there's no resolution. And it seems that so many people are just completely fine with that. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not the correct response.
But there's a whole generation now that's the whole way that it's always been for them. Yeah. They don't remember when, you know,
yeah.
when you would have somebody on the other end of the line that really went the extra mile. There is no extra mile anymore.
There isn't. There's very little accountability that goes on. Or the accountability is somehow going to be like, oh, well, I'm glad that you're suffering. We'll learn from that. We had that earlier today.
That I'm still fucking pissed about.
And I'm just waiting for the person to show up at our doorstep while we're doing our show, because that seems to be his timing.
He sucks. His timing sucks.
I'll share that story after this story. It's a great one. It's a great story in customer service.
Yeah.
So hang on for that. Next one says, I have quite a few office horror stories that had a hard time picking this one. This one is one that sticks out, which is close to the end of my career. I worked at a college in my career development office for MBA students. We provided services to students to find their dream job. We hired someone in our office that would help with the events. She made the office, which previously was a great place to work in, a living nightmare. Why? Because she was a person that, one, took advantage of her position to troll male students in the hopes to find someone who would marry her and provide a life where she's taken care of. She was a single mom still in denial that she was older than the students. Number two, she took advantage as the event planner to stay at the student events and drink with them and take the remaining liquor home. Three, she constantly had arguments on the phone with her parents who bought her condo about why she couldn't pay the mortgage on time. We had an open concept office. These arguments were loud, and for all of us, we had to hear them. Then she would break down, cry, and want to talk about it with us. Three, she did not think anything was wrong in asking that if I was getting office supplies for the office, would I mind picking up some markers and sticky notes for her daughter's school projects? She brought down the whole office morale with her antics, and it got to a point where I had to tell and plead with my boss, who could not handle her, that something needs to be done. His version of that was to try to make her life miserable in the hopes that she'd quit. Instead, it led to screaming matches in his office between the two, heightening the stress level that we were all feeling. Eventually, she found another job that we were happy to give a great reference to, with the anticipation of having her leave. She got the job. I've always felt a little guilty for doing that, but happy as hell that she was leaving and that guilt was there. She did not last as long there as she lasted there with us, which told me my boss sucked at his job as he made us suffer for way longer than any of us needed to because he was a wuss.
Wow.
There you go.
That one person can ruin everything.
It really can. Mm-hmm. You get one bad apple in the mix. Now, that's what gets me about so many workplaces is you have a really happy, positive environment, and then suddenly it goes to shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, what changed? This is just deduction. What changed? Okay, well, there's a new person in the mix, and morale seemed to go to shit right around that time. And if you take a look at the whole circle of people, they're not really getting along that well with that one person. Or you can tell that one person isn't, you know, fitting in so well. What's going on? But the bosses, I think sometimes it's almost like an ego thing.
Yeah.
Because they made that decision that that person is going to be great at their job. And then they're not. Mm-hmm. And they pull the whole place down. But because that boss doesn't want to be wrong in that decision, the whole fucking thing goes to hell. And that person sits there and stays in their job no matter what. And then everybody's just left to suffer.
What is the appropriate time window before you can decide that this isn't going to work out? Is it 90 days?
Typically.
Okay. Because I would assume, you know, if something, it's going to take 90 days for everybody to kind of feel like in their groove, mm-hmm. you know, with the new situation, the new employee, the boss now having a new employee yeah. and learning the job. It's like, after the 90 days, if it's still not, you know, worked all the kinks out and it's cut your losses.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows how somebody's going to be until you hire them and try.
Well, in what case, in what example is anyone ever looking at going, oh yeah, you know, everybody's getting along with them and they are really causing problems and morale went to shit, but suddenly it all just changed. Everybody just suddenly got along great and everything got better. Never.
No.
That doesn't happen. It's just when somebody is just, you know, and maybe that person fits in well in another group, in another place, in another time. And that's true. Not everybody meshes together. And when that's the case, you just have to identify it and mm-hmm. suck it up. If you're the one that made that decision and say, wrong choice.
Yeah.
I picked the wrong person. Big deal. You'll be forgiven. The rest of your company and your employees who are already happy will thank you. They'll think more of you for identifying that.
But they will resent you if you won't own up and say, this didn't work yeah. out, and mm-hmm. you keep the person and everybody's miserable and can't do their job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had that. I mean, I remember there in working there when you're on air, it's a very small circle of people. Mm-hmm. And I remember a radio station, everybody getting along pretty good. Everybody's happy. And then they bring in this morning show.
Yeah.
And morning shows tend to be one of your more egotistic, or you're going to have more likelihood that your morning show people are going to be a lot more egotistical and, you know, more of that big headedness than any other position on the station. Mm-hmm. I've worked with some wonderful morning shows that don't have the egos. They're the most inviting and friendly and great people in the world. And I've worked with some that are out of their fucking minds that are just so into themselves and think they can do no wrong and that they just fucking rule the roost walking in from day one. And this was kind of like what we had. And it was like, oh God, after just a short period of time, the one of them's just making up shit and lying about the other staff members and events. And it's like, I wish I remembered the specifics because there is some of this where I were being so enraged because I hate when people make shit up mm-hmm. and it's a justification thing and it's justice. And it's like, what the fuck? It's like, I never said any of that, but this person just didn't like me.
Yeah.
And she was saying this shit. And I'm like, you know me. Does this sound like anything I would ever say? And why would I do that? Mm-hmm. And then you go into those arguments and it was like, well, you know, no, it doesn't. You know, I can't prove it otherwise. And you know, they can't prove it either. So I'm not going to believe them, you know, but we're just going to drop it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it was left. But this shit went on for years with these people and they were horrible. Mm-hmm. They weren't good. And it just got so cancerous in that place. And it was like, it was just a nice, happy family. And then it's like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Why is this going on? I good times.
People that feed on drama.
Yeah. Not to mention they just like fought like cats and dogs and would literally scream at each other and storm out of the building left and right. Mm-hmm. That was fun too. It was like, what the fuck? We're going to allow this. And it was just, it was always the pass. It's like, oh, it's okay. I never understand that. How people like get these passes. You want to talk about our fun that we our customer service?
Yeah. Thing let's from talk before? About that.
So, we're in the new place and we had to get some painting done. And there's a little wall outside, a little berm wall.
It's a retaining wall.
Retaining wall. And there's plants along the top of it. And we needed to get it painted. It was kind of cracking up and mm-hmm. needed a round of paint. So we got that done, had a painting service do it. And along with the wall, they decided to like paint the plants white. And it's like, you know, the plants were there. You could have, you know, put plastic something.
Yeah, around. You put the plastic sheeting and there's enough room. It's not like these plants are all over mm-hmm. hanging on this wall. There's enough room to easily have covered them.
Yeah. So I get, okay, you know, it happened. I can't undo this. Mm-hmm. I have to cut the plants pieces off now. But it's like, you know, what are they? I just want to point this out to you. And the response I get when they showed up earlier today with their box of Andy's mints as a thank you for using their services, which, by the way, hand me this box of mints here. I was excited a little bit because I like Andy's mints.
And then you realize half of it.
It's fucking paper.
Yeah. Half of it is the shredded like Easter basket paper.
Oh, my God. I was like, you're that stingy there, too. You put like 14 Andy's mitts in here, and then the rest is fucking paper.
And a shitload of their business cards, like we're going to give those out now.
Yeah. It's like, fuck you. So anyway, so they paint the plants, and I pointed it out, and because I got this gift for you. And is everything good? I'm like, well, a couple things I want to talk about. Like, for the most part, I was okay with the job, but like they painted all the plants here. Oh, well, and this is a kicker. Well, that's a learning experience for them. And do I get the learning experience discount?
Yeah. I think you should ask that if he ever shows up to find out what we really think, because it's like, no, we hired professionals. We didn't hire people in training. You know, I can go out there and fucking paint my plants myself if I wanted a sloppy ass job, but I wanted it done and done right.
But it's a learning experience.
No.
How is that an acceptable answer?
No, it's not.
And it was said to me in such a just nonchalant, like, oh, this is an acceptable way of explaining why they painted your plants. Like, I was really, I'm usually pretty good at like coming back. Mm-hmm. I think I was so taken aback at that one. I just didn't know what to say.
No.
It's like, what?
No.
This is your, it painted my plants as a learning experience.
Well, and I'm still pissed about the deck that got redone.
Yeah.
All the lawn furniture or all the deck furniture is still on the yard.
Yeah. They didn't put anything back either.
No.
All part of the, we'll do this for you. Yeah. You checked that box, but you didn't deliver on that box.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, I hope you like white bushes. I believe the comment was I'm not even kidding. The comment was made, well, it's kind of Christmassy.
That's just ridiculous.
Dumbest things I've ever heard. Yes, because what I like to do for the holidays is go around the yard and spray paint my plants white. That seems to be a great idea.
Wow.
A little Christmassy.
Well, you know what she can do with her Andy's mints.
Yeah. 833-8-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror stories with us. Let's do this. And you have a boss story, right?
Yeah, because I thought we were talking about specifically bosses today.
Oh, we got boss stories. We got everything.
Okay.
So, but I do want to get yours. So I'll just last short story. And it says, back in college, I worked at a walk-in clinic in downtown Vancouver on my days off school. I really liked it there and got along with all the doctors, or so I thought. It was a Tuesday around lunch. It wasn't busy, so I was filling in and cleaning around the office. Someone came in, and being as there was only one doctor at the time, I obviously booked the patient to be seen by him. Well, when I went to the back office to tell him that he had a patient just show up, he lost it, was screaming at me about how incompetent I was and how dare I interrupt him while he's doing notes. I stood there stunned. As out of all the doctors there, I felt much more of a bond with this one, probably because I worked with him the most. I've worked for a lot of doctors, and I expect the attitude problem from some for the most part, but this was just wow. He then stood up. I guess he was mad I wasn't saying anything. He was like 6'2"-ish versus my 5'5". He stormed across the room towards me and backed me right into the wall and screamed at me for an inch away from my face. He then grabbed my arm and threw me out of the back office. I left the room in tears at this point and went back up to the front. One of the other secretaries had come back from lunch, so I grabbed my purse and walked out. I went up to the hospital where I also worked and cried for a couple hours before returning home. The office manager from the walk-in clinic called me when I didn't show up to my shift, and I told her flat out that I wouldn't be setting foot in that place again after being screamed at and intimidated and manhandled like that. She begged me to come back, and I refused, even offered me more money, and I still said no. I said I'd rather be starving as a student than work in a place where I was afraid of someone. Ended up getting more hours at the hospital anyway, so it worked out all in the end. It was almost 20 years ago, and I'll never forget it.
That's unacceptable. I mean, I get sometimes people lose their cool and voices get raised, but never, ever should be like that.
You know, you can't like physically throw somebody out of the building.
No.
No. And it wasn't like a self-defense thing either. It was just insane rage.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. Did the pressure change in the middle of that story?
I didn't notice my ears pop. Did you?
All of a sudden, like in the middle of it, like my ears popped and I couldn't hear myself for a second. Oh. And I was like, either the pressure changed or I'm having a stroke.
No, the weather's getting ready to change. So yeah. It's probably a pressure change. I didn't notice it, but I'm so congested. I could be hit by freight train and wouldn't know.
You probably wouldn't realize right now when it was just weird. It was like all of a sudden this wave just kind of came. I'm like, whoa.
No.
And I was like, well, that was interesting. And I just kind of kept going. But anyway, 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB, our phone number to call in your office horror story or write it on the website at officehorrorstories.com. Okay, Jenny's turn for...
Okay, so this was probably, about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I worked for a store that did kitchen remodels and flooring, and mm-hmm. I was the main designer there, and I had a really good month. It was a really great month. And so my boss said that he wanted to take me to lunch to, you know, congratulate me on a good month. And I was like, okay, you know, I've been there about 6 months and things were really going well. Boss had always been weird and I knew he was weird, but mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I'll go to lunch with him. So went to lunch and then he's not there to talk about what a great month we had. His whole premise of taking me to lunch was to tell me, when I was currently going through a divorce, that I should not divorce the man that I'm divorcing because I would never find anybody better, and that God would never forgive me for divorcing him. That was the whole point.
Well, all these years later, he was clearly right.
Jesus. It's just like, I was sitting there just stunned and like, he's really doing this? He's really telling me that I shouldn't divorce my ex-husband because I will never find somebody better? And he went so far as to say, especially with your family history. And I'm like, you know what? We can rattle off diagnoses right and left, but he had more of them than I ever did, this boss. And it's like, I mean, he was, oh my God. But I was just like, that was probably the boss that I had that took it to the extreme, the furthest, most inappropriate. And you know some of the shit that I dealt with inappropriate wise.
Yeah. It almost, gosh, Do you wish that smartphones were around at that time where you could have just hit that record button?
Yeah, yeah.
You could have made a buco amount of money on that one.
Oh, yeah.
You could have, even if you weren't prepared at that, you could have been like, hang on, I need to use the bathroom, come back, and then get it rolling.
Well, I don't believe that state is one where you can record without announcing that you're recording.
I thought it was.
No.
No?
Not that state. That's no fun.
That's a shame.
But, yeah, so.
Lure him over state lines.
So I told him, you know, I said I don't have an appetite anymore, and this is really none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you want to fire me because I'm getting a divorce, go right ahead. But he, you know, I knew he knew my soon to be ex-husband, mm-hmm. you know, but I had no idea that this is the length that they would team up and go to try and get me to not divorce him.
And the buffoons are probably sitting there going, yeah, that'll work. That'll be great. This'll really teach her.
And then about a month later, I met you. And the rest is history.
Shit went downhill even more.
The rest is history.
That is, God, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
See, I immediately go to litigious mode because it's like, oh, yeah.
If I wasn't paying lawyers for the divorce sure. already, I might have had money to pay the lawyers for that
shit. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's, right. It's a he said, she said, he would deny it.
Exactly.
You know, God. And people like that would just do that. They would just, they know that they're dumb, but they're smart enough to know how not to get caught there in an obvious thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't go on the record saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're dumb enough to get caught. Like if it was other people around, there's ways of entrapping that bullshit.
Well, but I do have to say, I think he probably realized that he was wrong. You know, this was years later, but I talked to somebody who worked in that office where my ex then did go to work there. And he developed a nickname, my ex did, because of the way he was treating some of the female staff.
Oh, really?
So I think my boss that then decided to hire my ex uh-huh. after I left realized maybe there was a reason that she left. So.
God, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what people find to be acceptable. And I think a lot of times you'll have people that will argue this stuff going, oh, it's a generational thing. And I get like there are certainly generational differences as far as what, you know, one may be used to or was, you know, I mean, this sort of shit shouldn't have ever really been acceptable ever.
No.
But it's just like, what the fuck?
Oh, their prime was like during the Mad Men era. So.
Yeah, but you even if that was the case, it's your own damn fault if you haven't realized it's not that fucking time period anymore.
Yeah.
There's only so long you can rely on the, oh, I'm from a different generation argument.
It's Did I ever tell you that boss used to be a male stripper?
No.
That's the truth. I'm not even making that up. It's exactly honest truth. I found that out after I left and went to work at the next place.
There you go. So really good judgment overall.
Good judgment.
Good judgment left and right. Yeah. Well, that's an exciting story, Jenny. Thanks for sharing that with the audience today. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. 833-HATE-JOB. Are you getting anything from UPS? Because it looks like they're backing in over here.
I don't know.
Maybe it's our neighbor. I can't tell. Oh, he's pointing at our house.
Oh, so. God.
He's pointing at it like, I'm on a mission to go to that porch. So anyway, I think that's actually time to wrap up the show anyhow. If you like it, please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. Give us a review. We would greatly appreciate it. Keeps us on the air. Let's other folks know that we exist. Until next time. For Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.